You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
It was the year of fire.
The year of destruction.
The year we took back what was ours.
It was the year of rebirth.
The year of great sadness.
The year of pain.
And a year of joy.
It was a new age.
It was the end of history.
It was a year everything changed.
The year is 2261. The place, Babylon 5.
Who am I? I am Susan Ivanova, Commander. Daughter of Andrei and Sophie Ivanov. I am the right hand of vengeance. And the boot that is gonna kick your sorry ass all the way back to Earth. I am death incarnate. And the last living thing that you are ever going to see.
It's over because we've decided it's over. Now get the hell out of our galaxy.
Hello, and welcome to the Epsilon 3, a Babylon 5 rewatch podcast. Each week, we review an episode of the 1990s sci-fi TV classic Babylon 5. This week, Season 4, Episode 8, The Illusion of Truth. I'm Paul.
I'm Dan.
I'm Sean.
And we are the Epsilon 3.
And the synopsis. The command crew take a chance when an ISN reporter arrives on the station, claiming that he wants to do an objective and truthful story on Babylon 5. Written by JMS and directed by Stephen First. Oh! Directed by Veer himself. This episode was released on February the 17th, 1997, and takes place from April the 3rd to April the 12th, 2261. And the guest stars: Jeff Griggs as Dan Randall, Henry Darrow as Dr. William Indeary, Diana Morgan as Alison Higgins, Andrew Craig as Client, David A. Kimball as Lee Parks, and Albert Garcia as Ramirez. Uncredited are Stephen Austin Skordelis as the Pacmara Ambassador, Bill Blair as an alien, Leah Huff as Maron, or stroke cadet, David Perlman as Vendor. And the reason I giggled a bit at Diana, it's actually Diana Morgan, is there's a Diane Morgan over here, is a female comedian of some repute. She's very, very funny. Anyway, so let's move on. Guys, what did we think of this episode?
Well, it was an episode. It was very different from what we're normally used to. You could tell that the newscaster guy was a bit slick and creepy, and you knew he wasn't going to be a good guy. And we were right.
Sorry, who was that guy then that just spoke? Was it?
I don't know.
Where's Sean?
He's not here right now. It's Sven from Sweden.
Yeah, okay, well, let's go with that. Suffering some sort of allergies or got a cold or something, Sean?
It's a cold or it's allergies or it's a lack of sleep. I'm not sure what it is, but it is my sexy voice.
I know. My heart. Be still.
We've stuck him in a cryo tube and he's been altered and that's it. We'll let anyone on the Epsilon 3 now. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. It's all that compression inside the station. It's obviously having an effect.
Different air pressure.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And if no one understands him, we'll make them understand him. That's fine.
Oh, I don't know how I can handle this new sexy Sean.
Not too many can.
Yeah, I haven't found anybody yet.
That's right. Shush, that hurts.
Okay, let's move on. Dan, what did you think of this episode?
Are we talking about Babylon 5 still? Yeah. Yes.
Well, I think it's Babylon 5. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know. No, he was sleazy from the get-go. I didn't trust him as far as I could throw him, and I could probably throw him quite far if I'm in the spinny bit of Babylon 5. No, I just... this episode just makes everyone feel really dumb. Like, there are so many points where they say words that are so easy to take out of context, like Delenn, which I've just alluded to. You know, if people don't understand us, we'll make them understand us. It's like you were on your guard and you were patting yourselves on the back, like, oh, I think we got through that absolutely fine. There's no way they could misinterpret us now, and then only to be presented with what they get presented with. I don't know. I just, this episode was just really annoying for the fact that there are so many points where you've got these characters that we've lived with for 3 years, and I just feel like they were smarter than that. And it's only Garibaldi that I kind of believed where he was coming from. One, because he's not in the inner circle anymore. And two, that he kind of wants to twist the knife into Sheridan, either because he's brainwashed to do so or because he genuinely doesn't trust him now because of the whole Lorien situation. Whereas all the other characters just made really obvious mistakes. And it just drove me nuts watching this episode. And considering we've been through this before, we've had an episode where they were misquoted by ISN and they weren't quite representative the way they thought they were going to get represented and all this kind of stuff. It's like I just didn't believe it. I didn't believe this episode as I was watching it. It's not a fan. It's not a bad one. Not a bad episode. There are some great performances. Just didn't believe it.
Interesting. Yeah, I wanted to believe him because he did seem very plausible. And the first bit where he's caught and he's like, oh, okay, so you've caught me, but and then he opens up about how people want to leave and he's managed to stay because he can fight them from the inside. No, you can't fight things from the inside. It just doesn't work like that. I really wanted to believe him, but then of course it's just all a load of crock.
I think it's worse that he looks like Mr. Morden.
He does a bit, yes. Yes.
Yeah, I noticed that too, yeah.
It's almost like Sean, with a different voice. It's just Mr. Morden, but with slightly altered perception.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, it was okay. I mean, the way they so obviously put in edit, because I edit this podcast, we all edit podcasts, if we tried to put in a different voice, in here and ask a question or say something to make it sound as though somebody else had answered something differently, then it's quite an obvious thing. And you would think people back on Earth would spot maybe some of these. Not everybody's stupid on Earth. Not everybody's being controlled. There must be people there who can understand what's going on. But they just treat everybody as though the Daily Sun readers or something. Anyway, let's get into the review. Sheridan is in the war room mourning the end of the war, but with the situation with Earth, there may be a use for the war room yet. Ivanova asks him what is worrying him. He says he has been talking to his dad. It looks like President Clark may be trying to get at Sheridan's family to rattle him. Meanwhile, Ivanova says that Zach Allen is doing a great job looking after security since Garibaldi left. Cut to a scene in the docking bay, and there is a fight in progress. Zach arrives and calms it down. But there is a suspicious cargo on the recently arrived ship. The owner of the cargo says it's private property and won't let Zach take a look at it. So in true Garibaldi style, Zach shoots the lock off and gets Ramirez to take a look. Out of the box pops a camera drone, as they are reporters and Zach has just made the evening news. We finally get to see those cameras again. The camera drone things.
From the pilot.
Yeah. Sheridan bumps into Franklin, who tells him that there is a problem with the cryogenic freezers containing the telepaths. They need to be swapped to new ones while the old ones are being repaired. Just then, Sheridan gets a call telling him that the reporters have arrived.
Captain Sheridan, Dan Randall, ISN News. Thank goodness someone reasonable to talk to.
Oh, thank you. He's such a sweet talker.
She threatened to grab me by the collar and throw me out an airlock if I didn't turn over a full manifest of our equipment.
Unauthorized shipments are a threat to station security. We had to.
Commander, Did you threaten to grab a hold of this man by the collar and throw him out an airlock?
Yes, I did.
I'm shocked. Shocked and dismayed. I'd remind you that we are short on supplies here. We can't afford to take perfectly good clothing and throw it out into space. Always take the jacket off first. I've told you that before. Sorry, she meant to say stripped naked and thrown out an airlock. I apologize for any confusion this may have caused.
I like that bit where he says to Ivanova, Commander, what were you thinking? You know, throwing this man out of an airlock. Take the clothes off them first. Randall starts again. He didn't want to let anyone know they were reporters with ISN, as they didn't think they would be let on board. Sheridan says he would have been let on board, but not his equipment. Randall tells him that not all reporters are puppets of the government-controlled news station, and he stayed on to try and slip the truth in without the president noticing. He wants to do this with Sheridan's help. Meanwhile, we find Mr. Garibaldi having a drink with a man who wants him to find a statue of what looks like a melted Buddha. It turns out the statue was the Drazi saint of pilots, and they took it off him. The gentleman had used the statue to hide illegal booty inside and wants it back. Garibaldi says he will find it for a 500 credit deposit and 15% of the value of what is inside. Linnea has been listening on. After a bit of small talk, Sheridan appears with a reporter. He wants Linnea to act as a liaison between the reporter and Sheridan, showing him around the station, etc. He is to show him the truth of what is happening on the station as an unbiased observer. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. That's what you'll get from Linnea. Linnea takes Randall on the tour of down below. He introduces Dr. Franklin, who is dealing with a person suffering from a heart attack. He then gets a call about the cryo bed situation and is caught on camera taking the call. Meanwhile, Londo Malari has a situation and is complaining to Sheridan about it. His quarters are too cold.
Perhaps you do not understand the nature of my concern, Captain.
I understand completely, Lonnie.
No, I don't think so. When I said my quarters were cold, I did not mean, I think it's a little chilly in here. Perhaps I'll throw a blanket on the bed. No, I said it was cold. As in, look, my left arm has snapped off like an icicle and shattered on the floor. This is highly inappropriate, Captain.
You're right. Several other parts of your body I'd much rather see snapped.
I see. Well, your sense of humor is very funny.
This is also caught on camera. Sheridan and Elaine are interviewed by Randall, who asks them about their thoughts on the allegations of President Clark assassinating President Santiago and their growing relationship and whether they intend to get married. Randall finds Garibaldi in his office. Office in air quotes. He wants to talk to him about his resigning and anything else he wants to talk about. So this felt a lot like an episode of MASH, where they interview all of the characters, where they actually told the characters just to stay in character and ad lib, and they gave their sort of feelings of the war and what was going on. So you're going around interviewing people. It just felt a bit like that. But this had all gone on in pretty much 20 minutes. Very, very, very quick.
Yes, it was fast because the newscast was the bulk of the episode, right?
That's right. Mm. 2 weeks later, Ivanova is joined by Sheridan and Elaine for dinner. They watch the ISN reporter's news report to see how they fared. The first news item is about Mars being 75% reclaimed by the Earth 259 days after they split for independence. The second item is about hearings in the newly reformed Senate, with testimony from witnesses which confirms what the president announced last year, that alien sympathizers have infiltrated areas of the government and the arts, determined to bring down EarthGov. I'm struggling because I've only had 3 hours sleep, so you'll have to bear with. Dan Randall then starts his report. He reports on the condition inside the station, stating that most of the humans have been forced to live in the squalid conditions of down below. The better quarters are reserved for the high-ranking alien guests. The Minbari are the keepers of the poor, struggling people. He shows the scene of the man who Dr. Franklin was treating for a heart attack, but his voiceover states that any attempt at protest is cruelly put down and they are sedated and removed. He goes on to say that Sheridan is subservient to the alien races and shows Londo complaining to Sheridan, with no audio on the scene, as if proof of it. Randall then brings in an expert on xenopsychology, who says that many veterans of the Earth-Minbari War suffer from an inferiority complex when it comes to alien life forms. Randall goes on to say that no one does anything without a reason. He shows the White Star being refitted outside Babylon 5 and says that it is happening with Earth Alliance taxpayers' bills. I thought that they'd split from Earth, so it wouldn't be Earth's taxpayers' bills.
Exactly.
He says that Earth-funded weapons fitted before the succession of Babylon 5 were used against Earth ships and wonders whether the closeness of Sheridan and Delenn has some bearing on the current situation. In a heavily edited version of the interview between them, it is suggested that Delenn will use force to make Earth understand, and an out-of-context sentence by Sheridan says that anything that gets in the way will disappear. He then plays an interview with Garibaldi. He says Sheridan is different since he came back from alien space. He had a god complex and won't listen to anyone other than Delenn and Lorien. Randall then shows the cryogenic freezer units that house 20 or 30 people, but they should only have 4 and at any one time. Who are these people? Are they imprisoned, population of humans, powerless and homeless, and won't be missed when they vanish? When they do vanish, are they taken away by medical personnel stored in cryogenic suspension? Meanwhile, alien ships are being repaired outside the station, but what is the target for this fleet that is being prepared? Randall then shows an interview with Dr. Franklin, who denies they use cryogenic chambers on a regular basis and have no one in the cryo beds right now. Randall points out to the viewers that Franklin is lying. He goes back to the psychologist and asks if Sheridan is unstable, to which the doctor says yes, and he could be susceptible to an alien influence. Randall says the key to all of this is Delenn. He blames Delenn for constructing a fleet and experimenting on cryogenically frozen humans, creating half humans, half Minbari. It has been done before, and Delenn is the proof. He says that Sheridan is not a bad person, and he is still mourning the loss of his family farm, which was burned to the ground, and his father is still missing. Minbari War Syndrome is a real thing. Sheridan, Delenn, and Ivanova are livid. And that's the end of that episode.
That was quite the departure from what we're used to.
Yes. I mean, it's not a bad thing that to now and again do something like this, to totally go away from what, to try something different, to break up the monotony of the same thing all the time. But this was, the over half of the episode was just this interview, which was half of it was we'd already seen before. Just like an edited version of the first half, but re-edited into a way to make them look bad.
Had to save money somehow. Let's just reuse footage, like Shades of Grey.
Exactly, it's a clip show already.
Actually, was this a writer's strike? Was this just a thing that they were redoing that maybe JMB had wrote weeks and weeks in advance? He knew he was going to do this because it was already in the can. They knew they could get away with maybe half an episode, or was it? This was always the intention. It felt like a Shades of Grey without doing a clip show.
I think it was just a change of pace. You know what else is a change of pace? This promo for another podcast right here on the ESO Network.
Soulforge Podcast. It's a geeky look at love, life, fandom, mental health, pop culture, and so much more. If you're into learning about yourself and the universe, Soulforge is your podcast. Each week, we have a surprising new topic, from stupid things we do for love to product reviews, and there's almost always a fun guest host. Like and subscribe to Soulforge Podcast today.
Oh my god, that is just the best.
Oh, that's felt that.
Is it hot in here?
A little bit.
Jeez, I'm gonna put the fan on, I think. Jesus,
I can't even remember who we're doing, but anyway,
doesn't matter.
What we're doing,
no. We've been thrown for a loop now. That's it.
Illusion of Truth. Hey. It's the Soulforge Podcast.
Is it? That's awesome.
It's great. We're going to hear both Sean's in one episode. It's like a completely different edited version.
Well, that's a great promo if I've ever heard one.
Your unbiased review of the promo was given to you by the host himself.
It's a me, Mario.
It's no good trying to change your voice, trying to make it sound as though it's not you. Anyway, let's move on to the trivia. In the report on the Committee on Anti-Earth Activities, Lee Parks is shown naming three people, Carlton Jericho, Beth Trumbo, and Adrian Mostel, as co-conspirators. These surnames are those of people actually blacklisted after being questioned before the House Committee on Un-American Activities. Screenwriter Paul Jericho, novelist Dalton Trumbo, and actor Zero Mostel. Actor Larry Parks, also blacklisted, named names before the committee in 1951. I would not have got that because I am not that old. The name of the series cinematographer, John C. Flynn III, can be seen on one of the cryogenic pods in MedLab. I did spot that. It's actually written backwards, but you could still say it. The Mimbari War Syndrome expert refers to the Helsinki Syndrome. This should have been the Stockholm Syndrome, in which the hostages start to identify with those holding them, named following a hostage-taking incident during a bank raid in Stockholm in 1973. Yeah, I thought he said Helsinki Syndrome, and I thought, that doesn't sound right.
You know what that is? That's a reference to, I think, Die Hard.
You reckon? Should we go looking for that?
Yes. Yeah, they say that, don't they? Yeah.
Where the dumbass reporter gets it wrong. I think it's that movie. It might be another different one, but I think it's that one. Because in the movie, I'm thinking about the expert says Helsinki Syndrome, and then the guy says, "Oh yeah, from," and then he names the wrong country where it's not at. Is that Die Hard, or is that a different movie from the 80s? I can't remember.
No, I think it is, yeah. And he goes like, it's Helsinki, Sweden. It's like, no, Helsinki something, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so no, Helsinki Syndrome isn't real. Instead, it's clearly used in Die Hard as a replacement for the real condition, Stockholm Syndrome. There you go.
Gotcha.
And that's from SeekScandinavia.com. They should know.
Yes,
of course. This is the future. Maybe there was an incident in Helsinki, and there is a new syndrome that came about from that. So you know, their references just got updated.
I can't think of syndrome without thinking of The Incredibles. Yeah. The ISM broadcast contains a segment introduced by a graphic with a voiceover. This year in history. However, the segment proceeds to list items about this day in history. Items introduced by phrases like "and 100 years ago today." Nitpicking. EarthGov have previously declared a quarantine on Babylon 5, yet the ISN team just fly into Babylon 5 and back to Earth without a problem. The quarantine does not apply in this case because the ISN team were on a government-sanctioned visit for the much-needed propaganda, as we learn at the end. So they had a special permit to pass the blockade. Okay. Sean, are there any Star Trek connections?
As a matter of fact, there are two. We've got Henry Darrow, who played Dr. William N. Deary. He played Admiral Savar in the TNG episode Conspiracy, and he was also in two episodes of Star Trek Voyager, Tattoo and Basics Part 2. And then Lee Parks himself, the actor David Kimball, he played Esok in Dear Doctor on the television series Star Trek Enterprise.
Yeah. My favorite episodes. Excellent. Very good. Okay. Ratings. So we rate each of the episodes we watch out of 5 because it's Babylon 5. IMDb, they do it out of 10, and they have given it a 7.6, which is 3.8 on our scale. Sean, what did you rate this episode as?
You know, I've been going over this for the last 2 weeks since we watched it.
Two weeks,
yeah, because we were supposed to do it a while back, but our schedule got thrown out of loop. And I don't know. I'm going to give it 2.75 because, you know what, it was a nice change of pace, so it's better than average. I see what they were going for, but they turned the main characters into Gumby. The Gumbification of the characters, where they're there to serve the plot instead of be who they actually are. Like John even said, we're going to say things that you can't take out of context. And everything he said was naturally meant to be taken out of context. So it was ridiculous. So I can't give it better than 2.75.
Okay. Even though your average is actually 3.6.
Yes.
So this is below average and actually puts it into your bottom 10.
Imagine that. Maybe I'm becoming more discerning. I don't know. Yes.
Dan, what did you rate this?
It's a smart concept. I like the idea of having the news crew who are twisting their words. And, you know, it's something that I do enjoy in some other shows, like Stargate does this really well, where they have the Earth government investigate what the Stargate team are getting up to each season. And they don't do a clip show, but they sort of place them under investigation for all the things they do and then give you an alternative view of what they've done. So the government say, well, why didn't you go to this planet and pick up some weapons? You know, you were right there. You know, you could have finished the Gould, and before coming back in the Stargate, you could have picked up these weapons. Why didn't you do it? And it kind of points out all the failings. And that is done really, really well. And this episode just doesn't feel like it's doing it really well. They feel dumb. They feel Gumby-fied. They feel like they are just shooting themselves in the foot, and that they don't think that they're going to get double crossed on it. I, you know, they've defeated Vorlons and Shadows, but they're outsmarted by a used car salesman of a journalist who claims that he's going to fight for their cause. And it just, I don't know. I just don't believe them. There are great moments, great scenes. I'm just not invested. So I'm going to go 3 out of 5. Yeah, I just can't. I can't go any higher. Weird, you know. I can't go any higher or lower than that. I think it's a solid 3.
Mm-hmm. Even though a little truth is better than none.
Yeah, I didn't particularly like this one. It was too much of the ISM report and not enough of the actual show itself. I mean, we had, like I say, a very short period where all the interviews were taken. I thought it was poor that Sheridan and Delenn, once they were, you know, they did have the guards up, and they were being a little bit cautious. And then as soon as he said, "Oh, so you're in love then?" "Oh yeah, we're in love. Oh my god, yeah, oh, it's great. We love each other so much." And suddenly it was all very much, "Oh well, nothing's going to come in between us. Nothing's going to stop us from doing what we want to do." And they blabbed away, allowing them to totally re-edit it. You know, put in a voiceover and show cut to him sat in a chair somewhere, and suddenly you've got, you know, something which you see on TV news even now, is where they've obviously asked a question, but they wanted to show the person doing it, but they've only got one camera, so they cut later to a, you know, the person nodding or yes, and then asking a question, and then and more nodding, and then they just insert that over the person talking. It's so poor, it's so easy to spot, and it looks so fake. And then we just had the whole show all over again in, you know, this terrible... I wasn't bothered on how many... I mean, it's a nice bit of backstory as to what's going on Earth. Yeah, we've got the Mars have been 259 days or whatever it is, you know, since their independence and all this type of thing. Oh, yeah, all very nice backstory, but it didn't really mean anything. It, you know, wasn't moving the plot forward anywhere, or it was just sort of there. It took us two news reports to actually get to the main story that we were waiting for. You know, it was almost like a real TV program where they said, right, okay, you know, later on we'll be doing the big story we've been advertising all week, you know, but in the meantime, we're going to tell you this crap to start off with. So, yeah, it was, I wasn't really fussed on it. I'm going to give this a 2, which means it drops into my bottom 10. And we've done, what, 81 episodes so far? Obviously not all the episodes of Babylon 5, but yeah, it's pretty poor. Mm. I will not go back to watch this one again. Let's put it that way. If I was, I won't skip it because it's sort of city, you know, you completest type of thing. You know, I just want to watch them all. But
it wasn't enjoyable.
No, not really. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I know we're not getting the full reboot. I know we're getting a Babylon 5 animated movie as of us recording this. Mm-hmm. That's the big announcement that's coming. If they were to do a reboot, I think this episode is prime for a remake with all of the deepfake technology, the idea that ISN could actually just make whatever they want. They could present news as if it's true without even having to film a single shot. So it'd be interesting to see what they would do with it in a modern day setting. And I think there are other shows that have done this concept way better than this one did. It's a nice idea, and it's kind of clever in that you are seeing how Earth is going to twist what they're trying to get up to. But ultimately, as a viewer, you're just kind of left a little bit bored for half of the episode because you've seen it already. You could see it a mile off what was actually going to get re-edited and changed up. I'm surprised we didn't get the scene of Lanier headbutting the camera used as a little one-off. It was like, oh, we just met with the Membari, but a typical violence from a Membari, and he just headbutts it straight through. But they didn't. I think that's the one comedy beat I was missing. I'm now knowing that Veer directed it, it was noticeable that he wasn't in this episode as well. I was kind of hoping that maybe him calling in, you know, they had like a little Skype call with him and sort of like, oh, Veer, with everything changing in the Centauri home world, you know, all this kind of stuff. But they didn't have it. So because he wasn't there, because Jakar wasn't there, you know, I just missed out on them.
Yeah, they were noticeable by their absence. I mean, there was, you know, they could have interviewed them and said, "What do you think of this?" and, you know, twisted their words as well, and make the the Narns look even more aggressive because they look like lizard people and all this type of thing, or got the Centauri involved in more political sort of, you know, wrangling. And yeah, they were, you know, that was all not done. So yeah, it was poor, really. Okay. Is there anything else you want to bring up about this episode?
I think that's more than enough.
I think we got it.
Okay, so that is the end of this episode. Join us again next week when we will be taking a break from the series, but keeping the Babylon 5 timeline and JMS watch order by discussing the Babylon 5 TV movie, Third Space. And don't worry if you haven't seen it. We will be doing a little review on it, so hopefully you can, it may even jog your memory, or at least you'll make it a bit more understandable. If you have any thoughts on this episode, why not send in some feedback to the epsilon3@gmail.com. That's 3 spelled T-H-R-E-E, not the number. Or you can find us on our Facebook page. Just search for the Epsilon 3.
Now, if you have any other problems, any other questions at all, just ask.
Are you now going to re-edit half of this episode and just put it out as a different version of the Epsilon 3?
It'll be, yeah, that's right. I mean, it'll be Dan saying, yeah, I really didn't like this, Sean. And then, you know, I preferred the old Sean. You know,
this has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.